Chapter 9 The Writing on the Wall.
"What's going on here? What's going on?"
Attracted, no doubt, by Malfoy's shout, Argus Filch came shouldering his way through the crowd. Then he saw Mrs. Norris and fell back, clutching his face in horror.
"My cat! My cat! What's happened to Mrs. Norris?"
he shrieked, and his popping eyes fell on Harry.
"You!" he screeched. "You! You've murdered my cat! You've killed her! I'll kill you! I'll—"
"Argus!" Dumbledore had arrived on the scene, followed by a number of other teachers. In seconds he had swept past Harry, Ron, and Hermione, and detached Mrs. Norris from the torch bracket. "Come with me, Argus," he said to Filch. "You too, Mr. Potter, Mr. Weasley, Miss Granger." Lockhart stepped forward eagerly. "My office is nearest, Headmaster, just upstairs. Please feel free." "Thank you, Gilderoy," said Dumbledore. The silent crowd parted to let them pass. Lockhart, looking excited and important, hurried after Dumbledore. So did Professors McGonagall and Snape. As they entered Lockhart's darkened office, there was a flurry of movement across the walls. Harry saw several of the Lockharts in the pictures dodging out of sight, their hair in rollers. The real Lockhart lit the candles on his desk and stood back. Dumbledore lay Mrs. Norris on the polished surface and began to examine her. Harry, Ron, and Hermione exchanged tense looks and sank into chairs outside the pool of candlelight, watching. The tip of Dumbledore's long, crooked nose was barely an inch from Mrs. Norris's fur. He was looking at her closely through his half-moon spectacles, his long fingers gently prodding and poking. Professor McGonagall was bent almost as close, her eyes narrowed. Snape loomed behind them, half in shadow, wearing a most peculiar expression. It was as though he was trying hard not to smile. And Lockhart was hovering around all of them, making suggestions.
"Oh, it was definitely a curse that killed her. Probably the transmogrifying torture. I've seen it used many times. So unlucky I wasn't there. I know the very counter-curse that would have saved her."
Lockhart's comments were punctuated by Filch's dry, racking sobs. He was slumped in a chair by the desk, unable to look at Mrs. Norris, his face in his hands. Much as he detested Filch, Harry couldn't help feeling a bit sorry for him, though not nearly as sorry as he felt for himself. If Dumbledore believed Filch, he would be expelled for sure. Dumbledore was now muttering strange words under his breath and tapping Mrs. Norris with his wand, but nothing happened. She continued to look as though she had been recently stuffed.
"I remember something very similar happening in Ouagadougou," said Lockhart. "A series of attacks. The full story's in my autobiography. I was able to provide the townsfolk with various amulets, which cleared the matter up at once."
The photographs of Lockhart on the walls were all nodding in agreement as he talked. One of them had forgotten to remove his hairnet. At last Dumbledore straightened up. "She's not dead, Argus," he said softly. Lockhart stopped abruptly in the middle of counting the number of murders he had prevented.
"Not dead?" choked Filch, looking through his fingers at Mrs. Norris. "But why is she all stiff and frozen?"
"She has been petrified," said Dumbledore.
"Ah, I thought so," said Lockhart. "But how, I cannot say."
"Ask him!" shrieked Filch, turning his blotched and tear-stained face to Harry.
"No second year could have done this," said Dumbledore firmly. "It would take dark magic of the most advanced—"
"He did it! He did it!" Filch spat, his pouchy face purpling. "You saw what he wrote on the wall. He found in my office. He knows I'm a—"
Filch's face worked horribly.
"He knows I'm a squib," he finished. "I never touched Mrs. Norris,"
Harry said loudly, uncomfortably aware of everyone looking at him, including all the Lockharts on the walls.
"And I don't even know what a squib is."
"Rubbish!" snarled Filch. "He saw my quickspell letter!"
"If I might speak, Headmaster," said Snape from the shadows, and Harry's sense of foreboding increased. He was sure nothing Snape had to say was going to do him any good. Potter and his friends may simply have been in the wrong place at the wrong time, he said, a slight sneer curling his mouth as though he doubted it. But we do have a set of suspicious circumstances here. Why were they in the upstairs corridor at all? Why weren't they at the Halloween feast?
Harry, Ron, and Hermione all launched into an explanation about the Death Day party.
There were hundreds of ghosts. They'll tell you we were there.
But why not join the feast afterwards? Said Snape, his black eyes glittering in the candlelight. Why go up to that corridor?
Ron and Hermione looked at Harry.
Because,
Harry said, his heart thumping very fast. Something told him it would sound very far-fetched if he told them he had been led there by a bodiless voice no one but he could hear.
"Because we were tired and wanted to go to bed," he said.
"Without any supper?" said Snape, a triumphant smile flickering across his gaunt face. "I didn't think ghosts provided food fit for living people at their parties."
"We weren't hungry," said Ron loudly, as his stomach gave a huge rumble.
Snape's nasty smile widened.
"I suggest, Headmaster, that Potter is not being entirely truthful," he said. "It might be a good idea if he were deprived of certain privileges until he is ready to tell us the whole story. I personally feel he should be taken off the Gryffindor Quidditch team until he is ready to be honest."
"Really, Severus," said Professor McGonagall sharply, "I see no reason to stop the boy playing Quidditch. This cat wasn't hit over the head with a broomstick. There is no evidence at all that Potter has done anything wrong."
Dumbledore was giving Harry a searching look. His twinkling light-blue gaze made Harry feel as though he was being X-rayed.
"Innocent until proven guilty, Severus," he said firmly. Snape looked furious. So did Filch.
"My cat has been petrified!" he shrieked, his eyes popping. "I want to see some punishment!"
"We will be able to cure her, Argus," said Dumbledore patiently. "Madam Sprout recently managed to procure some mandrakes. As soon as they have reached their full size, I will have a potion made which will revive Mrs. Norris."
"I'll make it," Lockhart butted in.
"I must have done it 100 times. I could whip up a mandrake restorative draught in my sleep."
"Excuse me," said Snape, icily, "but I believe I am the potions master at this school." There was a very awkward pause.
"You may go," Dumbledore said to Harry, Ron, and Hermione.
They went, as quickly as they could, without actually running. When they were a floor up from Lockhart's office, they turned into an empty classroom and closed the door quietly behind them. Harry squinted at his friends' darkened faces.
"Do you think I should have told them about that voice I heard?"
"No," said Ron, without hesitation. "Hearing voices no one else can hear isn't a good sign, even in the wizarding world."
Something in Ron's voice made Harry ask, "You do believe me, don't you?"
"Course I do," said Ron quickly. "But you must admit it's weird."
"I know it's weird," said Harry. "The whole thing's weird. What was that writing on the wall about? The chamber has been opened. What's that supposed to mean?"
"You know, it rings a sort of bell," said Ron slowly. "I think someone told me a story about a secret chamber at Hogwarts once. It might have been Bill,